Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's see. Kansas City 40-22, Kansas City 38-30, Kansas City, what? The Chiefs?
What?
Can't score, putting up a 30-burger plus? Or the Ravens. That's the predictions we're getting so far. Baltimore 2.5-point favorites. Joining us now, Vinny and Haney. Featured artist Friday, it's Jay-Z. Anything you want to hear from him, send your request. Plot support text line from the Baltimore Banner. He is Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. I hope you're feeling all right. And before we get to the injuries here, and Ronnie Stanley's one that's becoming somewhat concerning, obviously, if Kansas City puts 30, 38, 40, some of the scores we're getting from the audience here, if that's a reality, what's going to be the deal on Monday out there at One Winning Drive?
I was going to say some outlandish stuff about what I would do if the Chiefs score 40 points, considering this offense is scoring, I looked it up last night, they're scoring one first quarter point per game. They are scoring less than 10 first half points per game, and maybe the cure-all to a Chiefs offense that bad is a little Xavier Worthy and a little Ravens defense, but to the folks who are predicting 38, 40 points, I would urge you to step off the ledge and maybe get back on if that happens, because I think you'd probably be jumping off with some members of the Ravens staff. Because, yeah, it's not a good way to live. I'm inclined to think that the Ravens wouldn't make any huge shakeups until they get to the bye. You know, that is kind of something that we've seen them do in the past. Just, when they made the move from Flacco to Lamar, that was at the bye. We've seen teams use that window as a nice, period to kind of reset. But again, I don't want to speculate on anyone losing their jobs, but I will agree that if the Chiefs just take them to the cleaners defensively, then, yeah, there's going to be some very uncomfortable conversations over this next week.
Jonas, you know what the biggest disappointment to me was last Monday night was they got out physical, which normally doesn't happen to a yep. Ravens team. They just got out physical, and that was totally disappointing to me, and that's why you have 20 missed tackles and all that kind of stuff.
I know. That was my number one takeaway from that game was, you look back at 2023 and the Ravens looked like a John Harbaugh coach team, and the Lions did not look like a Dan Campbell coach team. And you watch the press conferences from before that game, the week before, that was like a very obvious focus of those Lions coaches. Like, they lost the line of scrimmage, they lost the physicality battle, and it started to wear on them once they saw they were down 7-0, 14-0, 21-0. And then you come out of this game feeling like that was definitely a Dan Campbell coach Lions team, but that was not a John Harbaugh coach team. I mean, just you think of the trenches and just how much time these guys spend in the weight room. Like, we almost never get the chance to talk to the defensive linemen in the locker room after practice, during availability, because they're always working out. And so for these guys to get overwhelmed that the way that they were at the point of attack was really shocking. It still is.
Now, Jonas, let's get the, injury report. I mean, to me, the one that's most important is Ronnie Stanley, because the drop-off, if Noteboom's got to be going in there, the one play that he had Monday night, Jonas, was the worst play that anybody probably had.
Was not noteworthy, if you will.
No, it was not. He got driven how many yards back in the backfield?
Ben Cleveland's dive at nobody, I think, is also.
Hey, Jonas, why not put Bullock in? He's the best run blocker they got of those other guys.
I don't disagree with you. And we're maybe 1 week away from being a little bit too over eager to get Emory Jones back in there, because you know it'll be week four and or it'll be week five and he'll maybe be off injured reserve. But I digress. I guess we'll see. I don't have a huge amount of information. Obviously, practice starts in about 20 minutes. What I will say is that, we were hoping to talk to some of the linemen after the game on Monday, and you know those guys usually take their time, showering, getting ready, getting dressed, all that kind of stuff. And we finished talking to Roger Rosengarten, and then we were waiting on Ronnie Stanley, but we got the call from Ravens PR that they were wrapping stuff up because Ronnie was getting treatment done in the little side room. So it's possible that he's a guy who you just trust absolutely, and even if he's only limited or maybe if he doesn't play at all, you would feel good about where he is based off just his approach to the game and his professionalism and just how he studies tape. But it's never really been a John Harbaugh type move to let a guy not practice at all and then be able to potentially play every single snap in a game that really, really matters. So hopefully he's out there in about 20 minutes. If he is, I think you could probably pencil him in. But if he's not, get ready to learn Joe Noteboom, right?
Oy. Well, he'll get a winning grade, right? Now, Jonas, I mean, you give up 7 sacks and all that, and every lineman got a winning grade. I mean, I thought Rosengarten, he was awful in that. I didn't think he was very good in that game. Ronnie got beat a couple of times. You know, what was your opinion of the O-line in totality?
Yeah, I think they were great on that first drive, and then things kind of fell apart. It felt a little bit like, the defense, the pass defense over the first half of last year, where 4 out of 5 guys would be doing a really good job, but
yep.
One guy would lose and lose quickly, and that would be the end of that play. It's weird how, I think ESPN's pass block win rate has Rosengarten being one of the top pass protecting tackles in the NFL this year, because it does not feel that way on tape. He didn't have you saw that he didn't really have that great of a training camp. The preseason was a little bit up and down for him. I don't know what's prevented him from making the leap. You know, when we asked him kind of what he was working on, in July or June or whenever it was that we talked to him, neither he nor Warhoff wanted to talk about what they were working on, which is a little bit strange. Just it doesn't really matter what you're working on. The opponents just kind of tell us so we can kind of zoom in on that. He talked about getting stronger, but that hasn't really shown up. They haven't really been able to use him that much on some of the zone schemes that they were able to so successfully last year, because Fa'alele is still a bit of an albatross there. So maybe the fact that they are going against this pretty limited, pretty uninspired Chiefs pass rush will give him some confidence. But, your confidence is only as good as your next rep against Chris Jones. And, he's a guy who can beat guards as easily as he beats tackles. So they definitely need to have at least one starting offensive tackle that they can believe in, because if not, then we all know how quickly Lamar can develop happy feet and start taking 10-yard back pedals that lead to nowhere.
Jonas, I think one of the big things this week, I mean, those DBs are going to be up in the receiver's face again, just like Detroit's were. They got to win. I mean, a lot of those sacks were because, like Lamar said, he's waiting for the guys to get open. I mean, and where's Zay Flowers? Zay wasn't open. They've got to run better routes. They got to run sharper, crisper routes against man coverage to get open. And you know what? Maybe use some pick stuff, crossing stuff to help them out a little bit.
Yeah. It's going to be just talking about the Ravens defense against that Chief offense. It's a very weird Patrick Mahomes profile I guess you could call it a scouting report, because he leads the NFL right now in average time to throw. He's usually near, the bottom of the league. He's closer to Lamar, closer to Josh Allen, but he's getting that thing out super quickly, I think, because he realizes that this offensive line is a bit of a work in progress.
Both those tackles are troublesome for them.
Yeah, yeah. But you add on to that the fact that he is leading the NFL in scramble rate. So it's got to be a weird situation for Zach Gordon to be like, you know, all right guys, you got to be prepared for Patrick Mahomes to get rid of this ball in 2.5 seconds. But you also have to be prepared for him scrambling 5-6 times a game. Like, it is just a very weird paradox of him as a player. And, you know, it's worked, I guess. They haven't been very explosive, but they've been good enough at just kind of moving the chains and, you know, scoring at a decent clip per drive. I think Xavier Worthy being back adds a little bit of juice to that pass core. I think the only guy that they have right now averaging more than, like, 3 yards after the catch per catch is Juju Smith-Schuster, who I would not classify as a dynamic receiver. I think Xavier Worthy was like close to 7 yards after the catch per catch last year. So he could be a guy who's, you know, takes some pressure off Tyquan Thornton and has a nice trickle-down effect on the rest of that receiving core, which really doesn't strike a whole lot of fear, I think, into any NFL defense. So it's bad timing for the Ravens that they're, you know, getting Xavier Worthy back, but we don't know how effective he's going to be, how healthy he's going to be, or just, you know, what kind of general effect he's going to have on that Chiefs offense or that Ravens defense.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore batter, real quick, just give us a score. Who wins?
I got Ravens 28, Chiefs 27. I just think the Ravens offense is good enough, and this Chiefs offense is not good enough.
Jonas, appreciate it.
Enjoy the barbecue.
Have fun with Harbs today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
There's Jonas Schaefer, everybody. We'll come back, whip around / stats that Jesse Newell from The Athletic talk about the Chiefs. Why are they 1-2, and why are they underdogs at home? And is their offensive potential to look reminiscent of what they were back from 18 to winning a lot of Super Bowls? And then we'll do our picks for college and pro. Two of us were right last night. One of us was wrong, Nolan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
All right, top of the whip here on this Featured Artist Friday. Jay-Z, it's Vinny and Haney, Nolan, here on The Fan. Before we get to Vinny's stat breakdown, Baltimore and Kansas City. Sports tidbit for September the 26th. The Orioles, that is, 2012. Or at Park Camden Yards, Chris Davis hit 2 homers, drove in 5. Manuel Machado, just a puppy, he went yard twice. The Orioles on the day hit 7 home runs, blowout Toronto 12-2. With the win, the Orioles creep closer and closer to the wild card, and they would beat Texas and then lose to the Yankees in the divisional round. But we'll get into all of that good stuff in due time. But Baltimore, KC, 2-1-2 teams. Heading into Sunday afternoon's matchup, Ravens 2.5-point favorites in it. We know the Ravens' defense sucks, but let's break down the two teams from a statistical category. Do they have the offense, Biddy, to make the Ravens pay for that bad defense?
Kansas City's a +1. The Ravens are 0 for the turnover margin. Kansas City's offense, they're 17th. 315 yards a game. The Ravens' defense, totally last. 415 yards a game they give up. Passing, Kansas City's 15th, 207 yards a game. That's all right. The Ravens' pass defense, 31st, 266.
On our way up.
Kansas City's rushing, 17th, 108 yards a game. Like I said, Mahomes got 125 yards rushing. If Mahomes didn't have that, they'd be averaging probably 80 yards. All right, Ravens defense, rushing defense, 30th. They give up 149 yards a game. Points scored. Kansas City's offense, 21st. 20 points a game. Ravens defense, 31st. 32 points a game they give up. 32. I mean, we're talking this is Cincinnati last year. Pass attempts, Kansas City's offense, 12th with 105. Ravens defense, 31st. 122. People like throwing it on them. Completion percentage, Mahomes, he's 30th. 59%. He's one of the worst in the league. Completion percentage defense, they're 21st. They give up 66.4. Average per completion, Kansas City, 20th, 6.2. Ravens, they're 16th. They give up 16 points or 6.7. Touchdown passes, Mahomes is 27. He's got three touchdown passes. Ravens are 18th. They've given up 5. Interceptions, Kansas City's 22nd. Mahomes has thrown 1. 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Interceptions, the Ravens got 1. Sacks, Kansas City's 19th. Mahomes been sacked 6 times. 2 a game. Ravens, sacks, 29th. They've got 3. And Matabike's got 2.
2.
And he's not there. Quarterback rating, Mahomes, 23rd, 82.8. Ravens quarterback rating, defense, 20th, 95.5. Rushing attempts, Kansas City's 22nd, 71 rush attempts, and 105 pass attempts. Ravens against them, they're 29th. 91 rush attempts against them, 122 pass attempts. They're part of the reason that the Ravens, they're on the field all the time, the defense. Average per rush, Kansas City, 4.6, 14th. A lot of that's Mahomes. Ravens, average per rush, they're 25th. They give up 4.9, almost 5 yards a carry.
Unacceptable.
Third down conversions, Kansas City's 14th, 41.5. Ravens defense, they're 24th, 44.7. I mean, the Ravens defense isn't good at anything right now. And then penalties, Kansas City's 13th. With 24. All right, let's look at KC's defense. Baltimore's offense. Baltimore's offense, 14th, 330 yards a game. Kansas City's defense, 11th, 297. Passing offense, 14th, 208. Kansas City's defense is 10th, 183. Rushing offense, this is embarrassing. They're 12th, 122. I mean, every year it's always first, you know? Rushing defense, 18th. 114 yards a game. Points scored, Ravens are 1, 37. Kansas City's 10th. They give up 18.7. Pass attempts, Ravens are 31st. 76. Pass attempts, Kansas City's 8th. 88. People don't throw it a lot on them. Completion percentage, Lamar's 5th. 71-1. Completion percentage, Kansas City's defense, 18th. 65-9. Average per completion, Ravens are 1. 9.5. Kansas City's defense, 15th, 6.5. Touchdowns, Lamar's 1 with 9. Kansas City's defense, 8th. They've only given up 3. Interceptions, Ravens are last. They have none. Lamar has thrown 9 and 0. Interceptions, Kansas City's defense, 14th. They have 2. Sacks, Ravens are the second most sacked team in the league with 12. Kansas City's defense, they have 7. They're 16th overall, but they've got 7 sacks. Quarterback rating, Lamar's 1, 140.4. Kansas City's defense, 13th, 85.9. Something's going to have to give. Rushing attempts, Ravens are 27th with 69. They're normally 1. Rush attempts defense, they're 24th. They've given up 86. And half the time is, Bob, how many games have we seen where the Ravens have only had 50 snaps? I mean, that's the biggest problem. Average per rush, Ravens are 3rd, 5.3. Kansas City's defense, pretty tough, 12th. They give 4.0. Third down conversions, Ravens, 7th, 44-1. Kansas City's defense, pretty good, 9th, 35-1. Penalties, Ravens have cut that way down. They're 26th with 16.
Here's your stat breakdown. We'll come back, talk about Kansas City with Jesse Newell from The Athletic. Why are they 1-2? Why are they underdogs? Where's the hope for that offense to get back to where it used to be? Then we'll do our picks. Then we'll take your phone calls at noon when Ryan Ripken joins us. We'll be ripping it with Ryan. I'm sure he'll be venting about the Ravens. Ain't no way Kansas City scoring 40 on ball.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they?
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Well, we've been giving the Ravens the business for the better part of 4 days here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, sitting here at 1-2, but they are favored at Kansas City on Sunday afternoon. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Let's find out what's going on with the Chiefs. Athletic. So on the Window Nation guest hotline, let's welcome to the show, Jesse Newell. Jesse, good morning. How are you feeling today? And now look, coming into the year, Cincinnati. Boy, there's a Freudian slip. Kansas City, as usual, expected to be a Super Bowl contender, the favorites to win their tough division. But here they sit at 1-2. Going into the year, Jesse, what were the concerns with the Chiefs? And I guess with a losing record, a lot of them are realities right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the concerns for the Chiefs, or maybe the hope for the Chiefs, was that Patrick Mahomes would have more weapons this year, and that, you know, it wouldn't be this sort of dink and dunk offense, this where it looks like he's running for his life with the offensive line and not trusting them. And it's been a little bit of a weird first three games because of what happened in training camp and what they weren't anticipating, which was, you know, for a while, like Rashee Rice is not going to be suspended, and then he ends up settling for a 6-game suspension. So you lose him, and then the third play of the season, the Chiefs lose Xavier Worthy, their second best option. So when it comes to weapons on the outside. So, yeah, it's been Patrick Mahomes and scrambling and doing whatever he can do, and the Chiefs trying to change up their offense a little bit to try to keep things afloat. And then their defense has been pretty good the last two games but had a horrible first game. And so we're so used to the Chiefs playing complimentary football. When the defense needs to make a stop, they do to get a win, or when the offense needs to make a drive, they do. This year, it's just been a little bit off, and so the Chiefs are kind of trying to keep themselves afloat until Week 7 when they get Rashee Rice back, and then potentially this week getting Xavier Worthy back. That'll be a big bump if he's able to play.
Now, Jesse, you're right. I was watching the film, and like the feeling that I get is Patrick doesn't trust the O-line at all because he wants to get rid of it real quick, or he's feeling pressure all the time is what it feels like.
Yeah, pressure on the field, pressure to keep the team afloat with everybody else out. Lots of pressure on Mahomes. I will say, you know, this week, this past game against the Giants, they have been doing something that they haven't been doing in previous years, which is they've been throwing the ball deep. I mean, this has been an offense that, when I say dink and dunk, I mean, they were the most dink and dunk team in the entire NFL the last couple of years, where they don't have any explosive rushes, and they also don't throw the ball down the field. They've kind of had a little bit of a godsend in Tyquan Thornton, who they picked up on their practice squad a year ago, and he's been displaying great speed. He's had good tracking skills down the field, and so Mahomes has been throwing the ball deep, and this week he said, I'm starting to trust my O-line a little bit more. You can see it, you know, the difference, I think, from week one, if you will, against the Chargers was, you know, Mahomes would hit his back step and he'd take off running because he was just going to scramble and didn't really trust, didn't know where guys were going to be coming from. We saw a few more instances against the Giants where he was hitting his back step. He was kind of keeping his feet comfortable in the pocket, and then he was delivering the ball way downfield to deeper targets. So I think there's some development there. But, yeah, I mean, this is not a finished product on the offensive line, especially looking at the left side. Josh Simmons is a rookie. He had a tough week against the Giants. It's a really good pass rush. And then Kingsley Suamataia at left guard, it's only his second year, but he's been up and down when it comes to pass protection. So Mahomes has to sort of trust that that's there, even when sometimes he's sort of faking it till he makes it.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I think Josh Simmons is gonna be a good player, but he's raw, right? Like, his arms are, like, he never punches. You know, that's one of the things. You know, that's why people get their hands on his chest so quick. Now, I don't know what Juwan Taylor drives me crazy because he jumps every time, I think, in pass.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you want to talk about probably public enemy number one with fans around here this week. It's Juwan Taylor, just because the penalties never seem to go away. Some of this, I feel bad for him a little bit, because his first game with the Chiefs was one of those big, you know, kickoff games, and Chris Collinsworth called him out, and there was a bunch of penalties. And the next week, he's kind of like a main focus the next week because of him trying to get off the ball a bit quicker, and then obviously lining up off of the line of scrimmage, which became a huge thing. But he's tied for the NFL lead in penalties. I think, you know, Andy Reid was asked about him this week. The Chiefs are in a weird position this year, is that they signed Jalen Moore in the offseason to potentially be their left tackle, and then they got Josh Simmons in the draft. So they have Jalen Moore as a well-paid backup, and they really haven't had options to go to as backup tackles. So, you know, hypothetically, they could go to Jalen Moore at right tackle if they felt like Juwan Taylor wasn't doing the job. But Andy Reid was asked by Juwan Taylor this week, said, hey, when he gets those penalties down, he's a good pass protector. That is true. He is a good pass protector when he's in there. Not very good in the run game, but the Chiefs have a lot of resources invested in him. He has the second highest cap hit of any right tackle in the league. So I think they want to see this thing through, especially since they can move on from him next year. But he is a good pass protector when he avoids the penalties, but he just has not avoided the penalties enough around here for people to be happy with the performance he's had.
Jesse Newell from The Athletic, talking Chiefs-Ravens with him. All right, Jesse, last thing for you. We're sitting here about 7:35 Eastern Standard Time. Which team's going to be 1-3?
Yeah, I mean, you guys said this. People can be down on the Ravens, and it's, you know, you look at the last game, and that's obviously what people look at when they're forecasting this thing. But you mentioned something that does not happen very often, which is the Chiefs are home underdogs. I mean, this has happened less than 5 times in Patrick Mahomes' career with the Chiefs. And so this is telling me that Vegas still is really high on the Ravens and what they're able to do, and especially offensively, what they're able to put up. I mean, look at the statistical numbers for the Ravens and what they do in the pass and the short pass and the medium pass. I mean, everything is among the top in the NFL. So I think it's going to be the Chiefs that are going to be 1-3. I think the Ravens are coming here and win. And like I said, it just does not happen that often that a road team comes in here as expected to be the favorite against the Chiefs. I think that tells you a lot about both these teams. Even though they're 1-2, I think the Ravens are on a better trajectory, while the Chiefs still trying to find themselves and still trying to get some of their pieces back.
Jesse Newell from The Athletic. Jesse, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right, thanks, guys.
There's Jesse Newell. We'll come back to our picks for the Ravens and Chiefs and everything else in between. When we return in that Ribbon with Ryan coming up at noon, we'll put a bow on the Orioles' home schedule with a walk-off win. The young guys coming through in the clutch. Ryan will talk about them Ravens. I'm sure he's as frustrated as everybody else is. 38, 40 points. Not saying it's impossible. Highly improbable. Now, them losing, I can listen to that, but KC putting up big-time numbers? I just don't see it happen.
Vinny and Haney's Football Pick'em starts now. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's get right into it. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the picks for Week 5 College, Week 4 NFL. Nolan, what happened last night?
Yeah, you guys won with the Seahawks. I lost with the Cardinals. Updated standings on the year. Vinny with a 4-pick lead over Bob and a 7-pick lead over me.
Damn.
Might as well give up right now. We're going rapid fire here, starting in college. TCU taking on Arizona State. Arizona State actually unranked but favored in this one, and I'm going with them.
I'm taking TCU on the road.
Yeah, they've been looking good offensively here. I'm going to go with the Vinny here. I'm taking the old Horned Frogs there.
USC traveling to take on Illinois, but they are significant favorites in this one. And, I'm not going to get crazy here. USC.
I'm taking Illinois. Illinois gave up almost 0.75, you know, last week to Indiana. I think that they're going to come back. They were ranked in the top 10.
They were ninth.
Yeah. I'm taking Illinois at home.
Yeah, what a difference a week makes. Ninth now home dogs. I'm going Trojans.
Ohio State and Washington, a chance to see the Terps' next opponent in action here. But Ohio State, your number one team in the country, can't pick against them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm sticking Ohio State.
Yeah, this spread was 12. It's down to 7.5, but I see the Buckeyes doing a little damage here.
LSU, number 4 in the country. Ole Miss is the home team here. They're ranked 13th, and it's practically a pick 'em. Ole Miss favored by 1.5. Give me LSU, though.
Give me Kiffin over Kelly. I'll take
Saw
Kiffin.
Saw that coming.
I'm going to go with Burt Jones' Bayou Bengals, LSU.
How about Auburn and Texas A&M? A&M favored by 6.5 at home.
A&M.
Sounds good to me.
A&M.
Yeah. I'm going to Auburn.
Indiana, Iowa. I'm going with Indiana here.
I take IU, Indiana.
Yeah, spread's 8.5. Iowa, they're not going to score 60 on Iowa, I wouldn't assume. But Fernando, now the Heisman winner, yeah. Heisman favorite. Yeah, Indiana. Yeah.
Big time matchup. Oregon traveling to take on Penn State in Happy Valley. And you know what? I think they get the win on the road. Screw the whiteout. Oregon goes in there quacking.
I think Franklin, this is his best roster. The quarterback's got to step up tomorrow night and play well. Whiteout at night is tough. I take Penn State. Otherwise, if they lose this one, Bob, I mean, then they got to go to Ohio State. They got Indiana coming in. I'll take Penn State's got to win this one.
I'm going with Oregon like Nolan. This could be a Heisman kind of separator for Aller. What's the kid's name? Moore. Out there with the duck, quack, quack.
Well, you better have a 2-TV setup here. The other 7:30 kickoff, Alabama and Georgia. What a thriller here. I'm going to go with the Crimson Tide, despite being 2.5-point underdogs on the road.
Yeah, it's at Georgia. Alabama won last year at Alabama. They were up 26-0, and then it got close. And Georgia was down last week. Tennessee came back and found a way to win it. I'm going to take Georgia at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bulldogs here.
And lastly, in college, Tennessee versus Mississippi State. Tennessee favored by 7.5 as the road team. I'm going to go with the Volunteers.
Yeah, Mississippi State's undefeated. I'll stay Tennessee also.
Yep, go Volunteers myself.
All right, over to the NFL here. We're starting in Dublin, Ireland. Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Tough game to pick when you talk about these international games, but I'm going to go with that Pittsburgh defense. Carson Wentz, come back down to earth a little bit.
I was going to say the exact same thing, Nolan. Ditto with that.
I'm going Minnesota because Jordan Mason's going to have a big game because Pittsburgh has a hard time maybe stopping the run. So I'm going to go with the Vikings here.
Commanders and Falcons. Vinny tipped me off to this. Jaden Daniels not going to play again. Marcus Mariota, the guy. He was good enough last week. They ran the ball a lot. Falcons defense, not so bad against the run. But even still, I'm going to stick with the Commanders here.
I'll take the Falcons. Come back from
no McLaurin third. Either, right? He didn't practice today. Yeah,
no McLaurin.
Hey, Debo, time to step up. I'm going Commanders.
Saints taking on the Bills. This has got to be fast and easy.
We joking here? Right
next one as well, Detroit and Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll take Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. Yep.
All right, Houston and Tennessee. Texans finally get their first win, I'm calling it. Real bold here.
I agree with you. They're good at sacking the quarterback, and Tennessee, Cam Ward is the most sacked quarterback.
Texans.
Panthers traveling to take on New England. New England not as good as I thought they might be this year. I mean, I didn't think they'd be elite, but they've been really sloppy. Tons of fumbles last week. They'll be good enough to beat Carolina, though.
I'm right there with you. I'll take New England.
I'm going Carolina.
Chargers, the darling so far this year, traveling to take on the Giants. Well, I picked against them last week, but I can't do it again here. Chargers.
Chargers.
Puffy pants Chargers.
Here's an interesting one. Philadelphia traveling to take on Tampa Bay. That's a team that's given Philadelphia issues in the past. It looked like they may have fixed their offense in the second half last week. I'm convinced enough. Give me the Eagles.
I'm right there with you. I'm taking the Eagles, too.
I'm going Baker and the boys, Tampa.
Colts taking on the Rams. Can the Colts stay undefeated? I say no. Home team Rams win here.
I'm right there with you, Rams.
Rams.
Jacksonville traveling to take on San Francisco. San Francisco losing a key player by the week, it seems. Even still, I'm going to take them here.
If it was in Jacksonville, I'd take Jacksonville. Because it's in San Fran, I'll take San Fran.
Yeah, Purdy might play, but I'm taking Jacksonville with the upset. The nose and the hair comes through when it matters.
Chicago traveling to Vegas. Call me crazy. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to take the Bears here. Back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears, too. Caleb Williams had a hell of a game, and maybe they're on to something here.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bears.
And Green Bay taking on Dallas.
Green
Homecoming.
Bay. Yeah, Green Bay.
Homecoming for Parsons.
Yeah, you got 99, now 100 problems for Sean Packard.
Right. And lastly here, the game we've been discussing all week long, Baltimore in Kansas City. Baltimore actually favored as the road team here. If you're asking for my prediction, I teased it earlier, but I am picking the Chiefs. 29-27. So no, it's not 30 points, but it's very close. Look, even without these injury concerns, even without the Ravens defense being absolutely porous so far this season, quite frankly, the Chiefs just have the Ravens number in the Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes era. Until I'm proven otherwise, I just think there's some black magic, some voodoo, whatever you want to call it. You can say that those past matchups have nothing to do with what's going on this year. I would disagree because the common denominator, coaching, Andy Reid, better than John Harbaugh, and maybe Lamar's better than Mahomes, especially this year, but with the ball in his hands late, Mahomes is unstoppable, and that's what's going to happen here. Late drive, game-winning field goal.
I'm trying to look up to see if Travis Jones, or if Ronnie's practicing. That's what I was trying to find out, but I can't see. I got the Ravens 27-24. I think the Ravens offense will make plays, and I think they're going to be able to run the football if those guards and centers can get up on the linebackers, then there's going to be creases in there.
I'm going to go Ravens 24-16. I don't know where all these points are coming from. Kansas City's offensively challenged. I don't know, the Ravens defense, Brandy just did the stats, is pretty abysmal at this point in time. Let's not forget, Harrison Butker's missed two field goals and two extra points. That will become a talking point in Kansas City on Monday morning, but the Ravens can't fall to 1-3. I'm sorry. 24-16, hometown team.
I hope you're right.
But I'm usually wrong.
By the way, the Butker game winner will be from 50-plus. Calling it.
Oh.
Yep.
Damn, look at you. You're just driving that hammer
home.
I
know what I'm doing here. Trust me.
All righty. There's Nolan McGraw. Vinny, you're off for the weekend. Enjoy the weekend. It's a beautiful day.
A lot of football.
Yeah, take care of what you got to do today. Coming up next, however, it's Ribbiting with Ryan. We can talk Ravens with him, 410-583-1057. Ryan will listen to you. Well, obviously, go to talk Orioles. Final three games of the regular season. Trevor Rogers, you want to talk about a prediction? Orioles are going to win two out of three in the Bronx and cost the Yankees the American League East. They've already clinched a playoff spot, of course, but right now tied with the Blue Jays. That's where I'm going with the Birds of Baltimore. Hey, Coby Mayo, keep hitting. You'll look good in the uniform that the Orioles trade you to get a starting pitcher in the offseason.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.